This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Giannis Antetokounmpo.
The Bucks game is over. And now, it's time for the longest-running pro hoops post-game show in Milwaukee. Hear from the players.
The most important thing, we trust one another. What happened, we trust one another, and that's why we came up with the win.
The head coach.
We're just going to have to be more disciplined. He's going to have to be more disciplined.
And the fans.
We have some talented players, no doubt about that. But at the end of the day, you're not going to be able to compete at this level of the NBA with what we have going on.
This is the Pick and Save Milwaukee Pro Hoops post-game show. Presented by Palermo Screamin' Sicilian Frozen Pizza. Now, here's Steve Sparky Pfeiffer on 105.7 FM, The Fan.
Bucks win their fifth straight tonight, 148-129 over the Wizards as they return home from a five-game road trip where they went 4-1. After a loss to the Thunder last week. Tonight, 148-129 winners over the Wizards. Huge night for Giannis tonight. 43 points, 3 steals, 4 assists, 6 rebounds. Goes 17-21 from the floor, 3-3 from downtown, 6-11 from the charity stripe. Ryan Horvath filling in tonight for Steve Sparky Pfeiffer, along with the mayor, Mitch Ross, and the chairman, Evan Heffelfinger. It is the Pick and Save Milwaukee Pro Hoops post-game show presented by Palermo Screamin' Sicilian Frozen Pizza, my favorite frozen pizza, right here on 105.7 FM, The Fan. A lot to get to tonight as we approach the NBA trade deadline tomorrow afternoon. Bucks, however, do not wait to make a move. Today they send Thon Maker to the Pistons for Stanley Johnson, a former lottery pick out of Arizona, averaging about 7.5 points per game. 3.6 rebounds. He's in his fourth NBA season. Was the eighth pick of the 2015 draft out of Arizona. Can't really shoot from three-point range, but a strong wing defender, so serviceable during a playoff push. Can also become a restricted free agent after the season. Where with Thon, he couldn't really find any minutes on the floor. Was playing just about 11 minutes a night, giving you about 3 points, 3 rebounds, 4 points, 3 rebounds, something like that. So 2.7 rebounds, to be exact. So I don't blame Thon for wanting to leave. I know he didn't plan to spend the rest of his career being Giannis's caddy. So personally, I liked the move. Guy wants to hoop, wants to play basketball, doesn't want to sit on the bench anymore. Stanley Johnson, I mean, even if he gives you, 10, 11 minutes a night, at least it's something. Whereas Thon, I mean, they couldn't find any run for him. People are calling for Christian Wood to get more run. I mean, you got guys on the bench that aren't getting any minutes, so no point in having a guy stick around. Not that he was becoming a problem in the locker room.
No.
Like a great dude. All of his teammates loved him, loved the organization, but he wants to play basketball. He's an NBA basketball player. So one thing I've laughed at all week is everybody's like, well, why wouldn't he want to play on a winning team? Because, I mean, do you want to be Jack Haley on the 95-96 Bulls, the 13th or 14th man that sits in a suit every night, or do you want to be, you know, Andre Drummond on the Pistons putting up numbers and getting paid to actually play?
Well, I think that's a question for, you know, that's open for debate. I think that's a life question, you know what I mean?
Like, right.
You know, what do you prefer? But I think to get something that lives and breathes, let alone plays professional basketball for, you know, Thon, who wanted out. I mean, he wanted to be gone, and there's no ill will. I'll probably be rooting for him to an extent. As we discussed during the game here tonight,
yeah,
you and I, but I think yeah, to get anything for him is good. I think Stanley Johnson probably has approximately a second round pick value to him right now.
Yeah,
you know, he was the seventh pick overall, and he obviously, and I don't like using the word bust for a guy that's still in the league. Like, when is it fair to make a guy a bust?
That's a good question. I mean, Thon's only 21 years old. Stanley Johnson,
22
years old. Well, let's see. That's the problem. And I'm fine with the one and done in college.
Yeah.
If you're Zion Williamson, if you're R.J. Barrett. But, I mean, I remember one year Kentucky went to the Final Four, and literally the entire rotation came out of the draft. Marcus Teague, he had braces at the time. He was like 16 years old. Mm-hmm. And I was like, what are you doing? You're going to spend your whole career in the G League. You're not ready yet. And so that's the problem, I think, with the one and done is just a lot of these guys aren't ready.
Yeah.
I mean, not going to Thon's case, but Thon's only 21 years old.
If you're
going to
do it for one guy, you got to do it for all of them. So some guys are ready, though.
Some guys, well, obviously, I mean, some guys' bodies are just built for the NBA, but a lot of guys, and I think that's the problem with a lot of these guys. I mean, you look at DJ, for example, out of Michigan, you know, I think you got to put on some muscle. Look at Giannis when he first came into the league. What does he add? 50 pounds of muscle, something ridiculous like that in like 3 or 4 years? And so 414-799-1250, I'm glad you brought that up because first off, I want to know how you guys feel about the deal, if you're happy for the Thon Maker for Stanley Johnson trade. Also, I want to know if you're rooting for Thon Maker. 10th overall pick, kind of a bust, but like Mitch said, I mean, it's too early to really judge. Do you want him to be a future 16, 17-point scorer, maybe reach all-star potential? Or since he's gone for a rental for half of a season, do you want him just to kind of stay mediocre? Let me start with you on that question real quick, Mitch.
Yeah.
Let's say he goes somewhere and he...
I think I'd root for Thon. I think he's a great person. I hope he gets a standing ovation next time he comes back. I don't know if he will, but he's given us some good memories, and I think I would certainly root for him, but like I said, to an extent.
Right.
You know, I wouldn't hate him if he had averaged 16, 17 points a game, 8 rebounds a game or something for a while. In the league, I personally don't see it,
mm-hmm.
but I think that if it happened, I'd be proud of the guy for working and, you know, finally reaching his potential.
So if he comes back and he's a Bucks killer, averages like 18 and 7 against the Bucks, how upset are you going to be?
I don't see it, but I mean, I don't think I'd be that upset.
I'm with you, man. I like Thon.
It's hard to hate the guy.
Right, and that's why I'm trying to be nice here. I like Thon the person. All the interactions that we've had with him in the locker room, and I remember he called into the Pick and Save postgame show last season to talk with Sparky. Nice guy, but...
Oh, for sure.
I mean, he's got terrible hands. I mean, can't really play down low. I mean, he's averaging barely 3 rebounds. He's 7 foot. And granted, he's playing 11 minutes. And that's the other thing, though. Like, I get him wanting to leave. Imagine going to work twice a week for 11 minutes, doing the work with everybody else, and not getting any recognition. So I fully get it. I want to know if you like the deal. I want to know if you're rooting for Thon. I also want to know if you think the Bucks are done. If you want them to be done, throw a move out there if you want. We're talking trade deadline all night long. 414-799-1250. You could also tweet us at 105.7 FM The Fan. Find us there on Facebook as well. Also, there was a game played tonight besides just trade deadline talk. We should probably get to that. Bucks win 148-129. Their 40th win this season. 40-13 on the air. 23-4 at the Fiserv Forum. Let's go inside the box score.
How did tonight's game add up? Let's go inside the box score. Brought to you by ABC Audio Video, home entertainment and commercial audio video. Simply done right. ABCAudioVideo.com. This is the Pick and Save Milwaukee Pro Hoops postgame show, presented by Palermo Screamin' Sicilian Frozen Pizza.
Bucks win their 40th game of the season tonight, 148-129 at home at the Fiserv Forum over the Wizards. Wizards looked bad at times. The Bucks jumped out to a 50-35 lead in the first quarter, outscored the Wizards 35-30 in the second, 42-35 in the third quarter. In the fourth quarter, in garbage time, Wizards make a little bit of run and get into the score a little bit, but still, Bucks win 148-129. Giannis, a huge night, declares himself the MVP. He gets my vote, 43 points tonight, 4 turnovers, 3 steals, 4 assists, 6 rebounds, goes 6 of 11 from the free throw line, 3 of 3 from three-point land, and 17 of 21 from the floor in 31 minutes. Giannis, 43 points tonight. Chris Middleton plays 27 minutes, goes 6 of 10 from the floor, 2 rebounds, 4 assists, a steal, 16 points for Middleton tonight. Brooke Lopez, 22 minutes, 4 of 6 from the floor, 5 rebounds, scores 11 points. Eric Bledsoe with a solid night tonight in just 27 minutes, 8 of 16 from the floor, 4 of 5 from 3, 6 rebounds, 11 assists tonight. to just one turnover for Eric Bledsoe.
He's been taking care of the ball well the last couple of games.
22 points plus 10 on the floor tonight. I know. But, man, 11 assists to one turnover. And I get there's no John Wall on the floor, who's one of the better perimeter defenders in the league. We're not going to see John Wall for about 2 years. But, man, 11 assists, one turnover. That's a solid night for Bledsoe. And also gets it done scoring, 22 points. Brogdon, another solid night tonight as well. Plus 24 on the floor, if you're into that sort of thing. 18 points tonight, 5 assists, 2 steals, 2 rebounds, 3 of 4 from 3, 1 of 2 from the charity stripe, 7 of 14 from the floor for the Prez. Christian Wood gets some run. I know that'll excite a lot of people out there. Plays 3 minutes, 0 of 2 from the floor, no points. DJ Wilson, 22 minutes tonight, 2 of 6 from the floor, including one thunderous dunk. 7 rebounds, 5 of them on the defensive end. 3 assists, 4 points tonight, plus 16 on the floor for DJ Wilson. Ilyasova, 4 of 4 from the floor, Mitch. 2 of 2 from 3, 12 points, 2 steals. Your thoughts?
I know. Hallelujah. That's your boy. That's your boy.
In the first half, I joked with Evan. I was like, man, Ersan just hit a shot. And he's like, he's hit a couple. And I look at the box.
Ersan is going to be instrumental in a big game this year. Yeah. Feeling it. Like 5-6 threes.
Plus 18 on the floor tonight.
George charges.
Hill. That's what we need. The man in the iron mask to take some charges. 9 points tonight for George Hill in 25 minutes. Goes 4-8 from the floor. Sterling Brown plays 18 minutes. Goes 2-3 from the floor. Scores 7 points. And Tony Snell plays 17 minutes. 2-3 from the floor tonight. 5 points for Tony Snell. Bucks shoot 60% from the floor tonight. 63% from 3. They go 19-30 from deep. 17-26 from the charity stripe, 65%. 35 rebounds, 33 assists to just 14 turnovers, 14 steals, and 3 blocks. They get it done on the defensive end as well. We got a quick break coming up. First, let's get to one phone call. Let's get to John in Oak Creek. John, what's going on?
Hey, guys. Yeah, a great win for the Bucks. I mean, their team is playing great. Great to see it. Getting back to Thon Maker, I was a little disappointed that he wanted to be traded to another team, mm-hmm. you know, to get, you know, playing time and such. But, you would have thought he would want to stick around, I mean, stay on a championship-caliber team like the Milwaukee Bucks. And, you know, this was a great opportunity for him to be a part of that. And I hated to see him request a trade and ask to be traded because, you know, they said he's a great guy and everything, mm-hmm. and he's a seven-footer. And thought they could, you know, use him, you know, come playoff time. But, yeah, it's disappointing that he wanted to get traded away. He should have just stuck around through the year, and then just, if he wanted to go play where he can get more minutes elsewhere, should wait until after the season. Because, you know, you're on a championship-caliber team like the Milwaukee Bucks right now. And with a brand-new arena, a lot of good things. I would have thought he would want to stick around and at least be part of it. So that part to me was disappointing to hear.
Thanks a lot, John. Appreciate the phone call. And I do agree with – So here's the thing. I mean, especially when you have the chemistry like the
Bucks.
Well,
Detroit has a new arena.
And, yeah, they do. They do. And, see, Detroit, I have no clue what they're doing. They have so many bad contracts. Well, they got 2 really bad contracts. They just got rid of one of them.
Is Blake a bad contract?
I consider Blake a bad contract only because Blake is never going to be the best player on a championship team. That's been proven. He couldn't get it done in L.A. And I know there was a rift between him and Paul, but.
He's not. So, like, he's like a poor man's Giannis.
Yeah, exactly. And at this point in his career,
he can't dominate in the paint at all as much as Giannis, obviously. Mm-hmm. And he's not a good enough shooter to do it that way. So I mean, people talk about we can argue till we're blue in the face about whether Giannis needs a shot or not.
Yeah.
And I'm in the camp with Shaq where I don't know if he needs one.
No, I don't think he does.
I mean, 43 points tonight. Granted, the Wizards are horrible, and they are terrible defensively. They have been. They gave up 137 to the Hawks, I think, 2 nights ago too.
Mm-hmm.
Man.
Yeah, but Giannis could go out and get 30 any night that he wants.
True.
It's all about, like, playing within the offense. And, I mean, even if teams are going to take away the basket from him, he's still going to find a way to contribute in the game. I mean, whether it be he'll have 13, 14 rebounds, whether he's kicking it out to open shooters. Yeah, tonight, guy just got a knockdown jump.
Tonight for Giannis was a scoring night. I mean, what do you have, 6 rebounds, 4 assists, 3 steals?
Yeah, and just took the game over, as we saw in the slow-mo, declaring himself the MVP. Let's get to one more phone call before we get a break. Let's go to Christian out in Hell's Corners. Christian, what's up, man?
Hey, how you guys doing tonight?
Good, man. How are you?
Doing great, man. Just riding that awesome Bucks win we had, dude. Almost 150. Are you kidding me? That's amazing.
Yeah, I was hoping they'd get that, but yeah, wasn't meant to be.
I don't know what I want more. I don't know if I want them to get 150 more or if I want Giannis to get 50 points more. It's really up in the air, but I want to talk about Thon Maker. I don't understand why people are so confused as to why he wanted to leave. Like you said it, like he just wants to play basketball. It's not necessarily about the winning. If he's not a part of the winning, you know, what's the point? Where's the glory in that, you know?
Right.
Like, where's that feeling of, like, you accomplished something? You know, anyone can wear a ring. It's just, I mean, you got a vehicle to be a part of it, you know? And I really hope, and I am rooting for him in the future. I really hope that he develops into that KG kind of player that everyone thought he would be. And I think he has the potential, and I hope that he really gets some time and he develops his game and is able to really show us what he's got while he's over in Detroit.
Thanks a lot, Christian. Appreciate the phone call, man. And I do agree with that. I mean, I'm going to root for the guy. I think, Mitch, we could root for like 10 points, 5 rebounds for Thon. He could be like a 10-5 guy. And would you be fine with that?
Yeah. I mean, I don't think he's ever going to be a starter.
Right.
I think Thon's role, if he should choose to embrace it, is that energy guy off the bench.
Right.
Like you saw in the playoffs all those times.
And it's like Christian said, I mean, really, I get it from two ways, okay, because you could play on a championship team and be the 12th man, and then you're always remembered as, well, this guy's a veteran with championship experience. You know what I mean? Even if you just go to the Eastern Conference Finals, when you get traded or you're involved in a package, it's like, well, this guy could find some minutes because he's played in the playoffs before. Thon was pretty successful in the playoffs before as well. So I get it like, okay, I'm going to stick around, see how things play out. Maybe I get a championship this year, and then next year or the year after, I could go out, try to get myself some money,
yeah,
go somewhere where I could get some minutes and be in the starting lineup. But I also see it like, who is the 12th or 13th man on the Celtics in the 70s? Or, you know, I know Jack Haley because it was like a running joke in Chicago, but like, who is the 12th or 13th man in Chicago or for the Lakers with Shaq and Kobe? You know, so it's like, yeah, the rings are cool. But here's the problem, and we see this with a lot of NBA players, the money's what's most important. Because
who's the 12th or 13th guy in the Heat?
That's the guy that's
Udonis
selling.
Udonis Haslam, everybody knows that.
Well, it's usually the guy that's selling his ring, his championship ring on eBay because he's broke, because he never made any money because he sat on the end of the bench. So if you're Thon, man, you're like, I got something to prove. So I'm cool with it. I hope he does well, but I do like the trade. I was really high on Stanley Johnson coming out of college, but he's just never developed that jumper. I said it, I was like, he needs a jump shot, and he's shooting like 23% from outside. But he does defend. 414-799-1250, hit us up. Are the Bucks done making moves? Are you rooting for Thon? Do you like the trade? It's your forum. Pick whatever you want. It's NBA trade deadline here on The Fan.
This is the Pick and Save Milwaukee Pro Hoops postgame show. Let's get tonight's Wrench and Go drive of the game. Need auto parts? Wrench and Go is a self-service yard. Bring your own tools and access the lowest priced auto parts around. This is the only station Bucks fans need. 105.7 FM, The Fan.
Bucks winners tonight. For the 40th time this season, 148-129 over the Wizards. Wizards earlier today make a trade for Jabari Parker, getting rid of Otto Porter, and we'll have more on all the trades that have taken place and some trade rumors with our man, the chairman, Evan Heffelfinger, here shortly. We'll have a Heffelfinger bomb, a Heffel bomb. Bucks open the first quarter tonight with 50 points, their most points in a quarter since November 12, 1991, third most in team history. And they win 148-129. Just missed going off for 150 tonight. Time now to get to your screaming play of the game, courtesy of Fox Sports Wisconsin. And we are going to go with the Giannis here.
42 here. With another free throw coming. He has this building going wild.
He's talking. He is yapping. He is talking. I don't know if he's talking, pumping up himself, talking to Jeff Green, Trevor Ariza, but he's emphatically making a point here with that dunk.
Mitch, what did Giannis say there?
That highlight courtesy of Fox Sports Wisconsin. That's not what he said. He said, I am the you-know-whatting MVP multiple times.
I just get so fired up watching Giannis play when he goes off like tonight, and I just want to run through a wall for the guy.
I know.
You know, I mean, just...
I tweeted this out the other night.
Nothing about him is soft. Like, I like James Harden. I'm not a big James Harden hater like 95% of the people
like
that
me?
Call into the radio show and you, yes. But, man, there's just no soft in Giannis.
No, and I'm finding myself just kind of gushing over the dude again. You know, the last couple games, there's just like he's doing stuff. You know, because you kind of get close to the situation and you watch every dribble of every game, like
right.
I do.
Right.
And you just kind of, I don't know, take it for granted is the right word, but you just kind of, you're used to it. And, but then you see him do stuff like once a game still where it's like, you know, full speed, stops in a dime, turn around, fade away, splash.
Right. Cause
or like just like, I think it was the Saturday game against the Wizards, full speed down the court, initiates contact, like finishes with like a little reverse layup. And it's just like, he couldn't do that 2 years ago.
Yeah, that's what I was going to say, is just the little things that he keeps adding to his game. He gets bigger and stronger. I mean, you could just see that.
Yeah.
Look at the guy. He's a monster.
Yeah.
Look at his shoulders.
He's a 7-foot Russell Westbrook combined with, like, Shaq.
I was talking before the show with Evan, and I was like, just the way that he squares up, like, the way that he could get to the rim, it's I don't even know how to explain it, man. Like, he's going to come up with a move that we don't know about yet. Like, he's going to, like, bring over, like, a Euro step, but just, like, something just totally different. The guy's unstoppable.
Mm-hmm.
Imagine 2 or 3 years. I'm not talking about an outside jumper. I don't even need that. But just imagine the moves that he's going to add, especially if he keeps working out with guys like Kobe in the offseason. It's only going to make him better. 414-799-1250. Let's get back out to the phone lines. Let's go to CJ in Milwaukee. CJ, what's up, man?
Hey, what's up, man? Hey, I listen to all the post-game shows. I'll never get a chance to call, but I had to call today, man.
What's up?
Middleton.
Okay.
I want to talk about him, man. You're going to get this dude $30 million. And he don't even be in the game at crunch time. I would let him walk. How many times have Middleton scored over 30 points this year? Maybe 2 or 3 times.
Right.
A viable number two is somebody like C.J. McCollum in Portland. I would even try to get Wesley Matthews. He can do what Middleton is doing. I would prioritize Bledsoe and Brogdon. Bledsoe, every time he's in the game, it's excitement. His defense is good. Don't overpay Middleton. He's not worth it. And that's all I got to say, man.
Thanks a lot, CJ. I appreciate the phone call.
Well, you know, I mean, I know Middleton has his deficiencies, but let's not, you know, I'm not going to trade Middleton for Wesley Matthews, you know.
Well, no. I mean, so here's the thing about Middleton, okay? Because I'm kind of hard on him every once in a while.
Oh, I am all the time, but, you know, it's just kind of...
But tonight, like, look at his numbers, okay, tonight, for example, all right? He's not going to go off for 30 points because he had 10 field goal attempts. Giannis went off for 43 tonight because he had 21 attempts from the floor.
Right.
Middleton went 6 of 10, though. 3 of 5 from 3. But look at inside that box score. I mean, 4 assists. I mean, only 2 boards. A steal. He's playing better defensively. So the thing with, I feel like...
I really do believe that that's a big part of this, is he has been, I think, especially since that benching, the famous benching in New York, I think that's been one of those things where he has sort of completely sold out in the defensive end.
Yep.
To stop these other guys. And it probably has affected his offense.
We'll see that, and I don't even know if it's... I don't even know if we could blame it on the defensive end. I don't think that that's the issue. I think that the issue is that before the season started, here's just what I think, and I don't really have inside information on this, but I think when they went to the lunch meeting with Budenholzer, him and Giannis, right, I think that Middleton kind of got a new role with Budenholzer. He was like, look, I know you could be a 30, 35-point scorer any given night. I know you could average 23, 24 in this league, but that's not what I need you for because I have a scorer in Giannis. You know, Bledsoe could score. We're going to run a different offensive set this year where you're going to be more like a Scottie Pippen or more like a, you know, not like a Shaq to a Kobe. Your game isn't going to be 23, 24 points per night. Some nights we're going to need you to do that, especially in the playoffs. If teams figure out how to defend Giannis.
He's a huge X factor in the playoffs.
And Giannis is kicking out and guys aren't knocking down shots. You're going to need Middleton to go out and get you those buckets, but he doesn't have to. But also, there's times where we both watch and we're like, come on, man, knock down a shot. Or,
yeah.
What are you doing?
I mean,
Wake up.
I do think he's a great compliment to Giannis. Maybe the best. But there are times where he shoots 6 of 19 and I'm just like,
right,
come on, dude, make like 2 more shots and, you know,
and that's the you other
probably
thing.
Win the game.
You don't.
Or, you know, his numbers look better because of that. But, you know,
I mean, if you don't
struggle sometimes from the field.
If you don't pay Middleton, who are you bringing in? That's my problem. I mean, I know these rumors are great.
Question.
I know the Anthony Davis rumors, and I know the guys are going to want to come play over with Giannis, but making it happen and having it happen are two totally different things. Let's go back out to the phone lines. Let's go to Dana. Dana, what's going on, man?
Good evening, fellas. Real quick, I respect CJ and his opinion, but in my opinion, Middleton needs to shoot more. If he shot more, he would probably average more. But anyway, and we don't need him. We don't need him to be CJ McCollum like Portland needs CJ McCollum because we have Giannis and they don't. Anyway, this team just scored 147 points or whatever it was. Ridiculous. The fact that, you know, just it's almost effortless the way they're doing it. And I know Washington is a bad team, and we all know that. But the fact that they go out there, they're having fun, their fluidity in the offense, you know, the defense is playing out of its mind right now. Everybody just needs to enjoy this team, not worry about contracts, not worry about next year. Let's live in this moment because how long has it been since the Bucks have been this good? I'm 40, and I don't remember a time where they've ever been this good. So you all just need to enjoy it, you know, and let the chips fall where they may.
Thanks, man. I really appreciate that phone call because that's what I've been saying all season. They are 40-13, and this isn't NBA basketball. They're not just beating teams. And I know, I mean, you could tell me the Wizards are a bad team or the Celtics a bad team or the Raptors a bad team because the Bucks beat them too. And they don't just beat teams. They beat the hell out of teams. They're beating teams by double digits this season. You see that in college hoops.
This is their 30th double-digit win of the year.
You barely even see that in college hoops. I always bring this up. If you're a gambler, lay money on the Bucks every single night they cover the spread. I'm watching Duke last night, and they granted, they end up covering the spread, but even Duke is trailing Boston College by two at the half. Why do I bring that up? Because the only time you see dominant teams dominate like this is usually college hoops, like Kansas, Kentucky, Duke. Watch the Warriors. The Warriors right now, 30-26. They're up on the Spurs. Four-point game. I mean, go around the league. Any given night, teams get beat.
Houston's up 76-45 on Sacramento.
The Nuggets are the next best thing in the Western Conference, and I know Brooklyn's good, but Brooklyn just beat them 135-130. Look what the Bucks did to Brooklyn the other night. This isn't just a good team. This is a great team. Let's get one more phone call in before a break. Let's go to Mark in Waukesha. What's up, brother?
Hey, guys.
Hey, man.
What's up, man?
I think he's a little – Middleton's a compliment – at times, I mean, he sometimes just disappears. You need a consistent scorer that guy can knock down, you know, can give you 20 points every night, you know, 24, you know. I just think you're talking about 25, 30 million for one guy who disappears sometimes. And with Giannis, sometimes you get players that are scoring more because everybody is focusing on, let's say, a Giannis. So he'll kick it out, but you know you don't see Middleton getting better as Giannis is getting better. It's flat. In fact, his scoring ratio is either flat or going down. I don't get it. You know, find another scorer that you know that can come in 24, 25 minutes a game and can get you 20 when you need it. Get you 24. And I think Brogdon, although he might get an inch shorter, he's more consistent. But you know the 6-for-19 nights are killing the Bucks sometimes, and we're lucky we have a Giannis to make up for it.
Thanks, Mark. Appreciate the phone call. Yeah, there's nights where Middleton takes a night off on the offensive end, and like I said, he took 10 shots tonight. I just don't think that's his role is to go out and be a 25-point scorer. I mean, we'll see later on in the season, especially if you give guys some rest, like Giannis has to sit out a couple weeks. I mean, look what Middleton does. I like Brogdon, too. I love Brogdon. But what's Brogdon's ceiling? What's Malcolm Brogdon's ceiling? Who has the higher ceiling? And I know Chris is older. But Chris, I mean, he's going to his first All-Star game this season, Mitch. He's in the three-point contest.
Yeah,
I don't know
Malcolm will ever be an All-Star. That's for sure. That's a good point.
I love Malcolm. I think Malcolm is going to be he's going to be a great player. He's going to be a 15, 16-point-per-game guy. He'll give you 4 rebounds, 4 assists, and I think that's what he is. I think that if Chris was to go somewhere to a trash organization, that he could be a 25-point.
Like the Knicks, they strike out on Kevin Durant and Kyrie Irving.
And they bring in Middleton.
They bring in Middleton on $30 million a year. I mean, they can have him.
Exactly, and then he could get his 30 shots a night, and they'll win 15 games. But that's just not what you need on this team. You have your scorer. You have your LeBron James, your Michael Jordan, your Kobe. We're going to take a quick break. 414-799-1250, still plenty of time. Talking NBA trade deadline. Thon Maker, no longer a Milwaukee Buck. More on that when we come back here on The Fan.
We know you can do that. Giannis Antetokounmpo.
You're listening to the Pick and Save Milwaukee Pro Hoops postgame show. What play had you screaming? Brought to you by Palermo's Screaming Sicilian Premium Frozen Products and Kraft Pizzas.
Bucks pick up the W tonight, 148-129, their 40th win of the season over the Washington Wizards. Time now for your screaming play of the game, courtesy of Fox Sports Wisconsin.
They call him for it. Hammer Wilson.
He's starting to really put his athleticism on display. Just a two-handed jackhammer finish on the inside.
Anytime anything has anything to do with DJ Wilson, we bring in the chairman, Evan Heffelfinger. Evan, we're not going to talk DJ Wilson tonight. You are our NBA insider tonight. Let us know what's going on with the trade deadline, which is tomorrow.
Well, it's quieted down a bit since the fourth quarter of the game when Harrison Barnes got traded. That's the biggest thing that's come out recently. Woj tweeted 7 minutes ago that Dallas is expecting to buy out Zach Randolph, which really doesn't come as a surprise. The Kings didn't play him one game this year. I'm imagining he's going to want to go somewhere where he can play, but at 37, how much value does Zach Randolph still have is a great question. But right now, everything's pretty quiet. I'm sure within the next 30 seconds, we'll get something crazy. But for now, I mean, the biggest deal that, you know, for Milwaukee fans should be the Jabari Parker trade to the Wizards, especially for Gary Wolfel, too. I feel really happy for him. But, it's been a lot of small trades so far. I'm sure we'll get the blockbuster tomorrow.
Do you think Anthony Davis gets moved tomorrow?
No.
Mitch?
No.
No?
I don't see it. I think that the Lakers were probably the best package for Davis, and I really don't think the Pelicans want to deal with those guys.
Right.
And whether that's fair or not, we can debate, but I just think that they're going to shut him down. And the interesting thing is Davis is willing to play. Right. I think the Pelicans just want to sit him down at least to the deadline.
Yep.
And then if, you know, I guess he's going to go back out there after the trade deadline, and we'll have to see what happens.
That's the one problem I have with the NBA, and I get it, you know, when guys want to get out. But, like, the small market teams, and you try to help them out with the Supermax, you know, because nobody else could offer them, obviously, $239 million. But guys just don't care because there's so much endorsement money out there. They want to go and win. He wants to go and play with a guy like LeBron, win titles. He's going to make $239 through Nike or through, you know, Zippin or whatever.
Yeah, the Supermax was supposed to alleviate some of these issues, but it, you know, it's not really hasn't.
You could keep guys like Kemba Walker maybe in Charlotte.
Yeah.
But you're not going to keep Anthony Davis in New Orleans. Let's go back out to the phone lines real quick. Let's go to the east side, talk to Ben. Ben, what's going on, man?
Hey, I just wanted to make a few quick points about Chris Middleton.
Go ahead.
I get the frustration, everyone, you know, analytics. I'm an analytics guy, the shooting percentage, but I just want to make a point about the cap hole. A lot of people are talking as if we don't bring him back, we have that $26 million that we can just throw towards someone else.
Right.
And, you know, I think it's interesting that we don't. I feel like a lot of people are forgetting that. And the other thing I want to make, the point I want to make is, you know, he's not in the 50-40-90 club with Brogdon. He's not doing some of the things that Bledsoe's making, but he has an ability to create that's not showing up in raw stats. He can turn nothing into something. And I think that that is something that's very valuable. You know, Brogdon can really only hit wide-open threes. Bledsoe's limited with the threes he can take. So I do think there's a lot of intangibles, and that with the cap hold and how we still can sign him, and, you know, that's not just empty money if we get rid of him. I just feel like we really should think about bringing him back.
Ben, I really appreciate the phone call, because when we were off the air, I was actually talking to Mitch about the money situation, where I just feel like people don't know what they're talking about. So that's a great point there. And number two, I also agree with that, because do you think Malcolm Brogdon and do you think Eric Bledsoe are having the seasons that they're having? Not saying that they wouldn't have good seasons, but do you think that they're having the season that they're having right now without Chris Middleton on the floor? Because I don't.
Yeah, I think that everybody plays off each other, and it's such a balanced attack under Coach Bud that, you know, that's the main reason why Middleton's not scoring 25 points a night. And I know Giannis is able to do it, but the offense has run through him.
And, man, I love Anthony Davis. I love Kemba Walker. I love the talk of superstars. But when you are 40-13, 40-14, you've got over 20 wins at home at this point of the season, why mess with anything? I mean, right now, you're the best team in the NBA. I mean, I know the Warriors are the top team in the NBA because they go to the finals and they got Boogie Cousins, and they're most likely going to win it all this year. But the Bucks have just as good of a shot as anybody else. So why would you blow that up? The East isn't that tough this year. LeBron. Now, if LeBron was in the East, I'd say, okay, if there's any possible way you bring in Anthony Davis, no matter who you have to part with, you keep Giannis and you say everybody else is available. If LeBron is in the East, he's no longer in the East. He's out in West. So the East is wide open. I don't think Kawhi sticks around. I think he's going to be a Clipper next year. Let's do one more phone call. Let's go to Kurt, who's leaving the game. Kurt, what's up, man?
Hey, man, what's up, fellas?
What's up, bro?
Now, I got season tickets to this game, man. It's just so hard to listen to people call in and talk bad about Chris. Now, if they understand what an average is, and how can you say he's not consistent if he's averaging 17, 18, 19, 20 points a game? Some games he's going to have 10. Some games he's going to have 25. If you know mathematics, your average is going to be in between there.
Right.
Stop being stupid and just realize and do your math. Everybody learned arithmetic if you went to school. He has a average. And average means you're going to have good games and bad games. Giannis doesn't score 25 points a game every night. Mm-hmm. The other night he had 15.
Right.
Come on, y'all. Get it together. Listen to it. Stop saying something stupid before we get rid of another all-star. The guy just made the all-star team because coaches voted for him. Get it together. I'm done. I appreciate it, y'all.
Thanks, Kurt, man. Enjoy the ride home. Be safe. And I completely agree with you. Well, there's nothing to complain about. Let's enjoy this ride. I only expect this organization to get better, the Bucks. I mean, I expect them to be better next season. But right now, I mean, when you're this hot.
Yeah, I don't know if it's going to be tough to – I mean, they're pacing at 60 right now. And to expect that every year is tough.
It's tough, and that's what I'm saying. I mean, these guys are only going to get better, I think, the core. I mean, Giannis is only going to get better. He's not going to get any worse.
Right.
But I don't know. I mean, it's hard to have a season like this. It's hard to beat up on teams by 10-plus points every single night. And Middleton this season averaging over 17 points per game, shooting 44% from the floor, 38% from three. 4.2 assists. He averages a steal a game, so I don't know. Nearly 6 rebounds. He's kind of like the modern day Scottie Pippen to Giannis being the Michael Jordan is how I would compare it. Like the Dwayne Wade to LeBron James. And I'm not saying he's that good. I'm not comparing him to those two players, but he takes the back seat. He takes the Robin role to the Batman. And not a lot of players do that. Not a lot of superstars. Not a lot of all-stars. Why do you think the Lakers broke up? Because Shaq and Kobe, there's alphas on every team. And that's the other point, is that if Middleton's cool coming back and being the 1B or the Robin to Giannis's Batman, then what is there to complain about? If he goes off for 31 night, great. And if he has a rough night the next night, but you're winning 60 games, who really cares in the long run? Let's go to Eye on the Enemy before a quick break.
Behold our mortal enemy. We're keeping an eye on the enemy. How did the bad guy look tonight? Sponsored by Coach's Pub and Grill on South 13th Street. Stop in today for lunch or dinner and try their fabulous Friday fish fry. Now open, Coach's on Lake Dunoon.
Bucks win 148-129 over the Wizards. Time now for Eye on the Enemy. We keep our eye on the Washington Wizards. How did they do tonight? Not so great. As they get blown out by the Bucks, the score, not even as close as 148-129 says. They go on a little bit of run. They're in the second half. We're down by 25 at one point, trailed by 20 at half. Bucks just breaking records tonight. The Wizards shot 52% from the floor and still get blown out, which just is kind of insane. And they shoot 45% from three tonight. 84% from the free throw line, and they still get beat 148-129. It's going to be a long year for Bradley Beal, and I feel bad for my man because Wall's done.
The Wizards just made another trade, actually, too.
Right now?
A few minutes ago.
Throw it out there. Who do we got?
Markieff Morris going to the Pelicans.
For? Anthony Davis.
I don't have a return yet. Yeah. That's Anthony Davis insurance right there.
Well, according to a caller the other day, Christian Wood is Anthony Davis 2.0, just never know what you're going to hear. Okay,
Wesley Johnson to Washington for Markieff Morris.
Oh.
Another luxury tax deal for the Wizards where they have to get, because they have so much money tied up in John Wall.
And Bradley
Beal. They have to get rid of their entire team,
yeah,
including Tomas Satoransky, perhaps, in the offseason, but we shall see.
It's going to be interesting to see what they do, because I thought they should have blown that team up 2 years ago. Bradley Beal and John Wall and Otto Porter, and when Gortat was there, I mean, those guys, they didn't get along then. What makes you think that anything's ever going to change with this organization? John Wall's not going to be back until probably second half of the season next year. Now's the time to make the move and see what you could do. The problem is you tied up so much money in those guys. Washington, Detroit, so many teams in the East have such bad, bad deals. 414-799-1250, still time to jump on. We're going to take a quick break. When we come back, more trade deadline rumors here on The Fan.
Marcus, it seems to me this has been a decent deflection game.
What defensive play stood out?
Giannis knocks that away from Love right at the rim.
Here's the Laborers Local 113 defensive play of the game. The Laborers Local 113 Milwaukee. Feel the power at LIUNA113.org. This is the Pick and Save Milwaukee Pro Hoops postgame show. Presented by Palermo Screamin' Sicilian Frozen Pizza.
Bucks win tonight on their home floor for the 23rd time this season. 23-4 at the brand new Pfizer Forum. 148-129 over the Washington Wizards. As my man Chuck Freeman calls them, the Bullets. 40-13 are your Milwaukee Bucks. Nothing to complain about tonight. Time now for your defensive play of the game, brought to you by Laborers International Union Local 113.
You got to respect that defensively.
Giannis, great anticipation for the pick. Brogdon can't lay it in. Giannis does some heavy work at the last.
There it is, your defensive play of the game, courtesy of Fox Sports Wisconsin. Giannis doing it on both ends tonight. Just a superstar performance. And I like what you said earlier, Mitch, about how you're still just kind of amazed by him every single night. Because when he first came into the league, we were like, man, he's got a high ceiling. Like, this guy could be really good. And then he was really good. And then last year made huge strides and became a superstar. But now, like, what comes after superstar? Like, MVP elite.
Yeah.
I would be surprised if Giannis doesn't win MVP. I think he wins it over James Harden this year. The only thing that keeps that award away from Giannis, I guess, would be the stretch without Chris Paul. They're still playing without Clint Capella right now, Houston, where they did go on a little bit of run. I mean, James Harden has, what, like 30 straight 30-point games?
Yeah, it's...
Or like 50 he was going for tonight, something ridiculous like that. But still, I mean, you look at what the Bucks are doing right now, 40 wins already this season. Just and the thing is that Harden goes on everything's unassisted is the other thing. He's ball dominant. He has the ball in his hands literally the entire game, whereas Giannis does not. So if Giannis wanted to, I think he could get you 40. I mean, he could be doing what James Harden does if he shoots the ball 35 times per night and he goes to the charity stripe 50 times like James Harden does. So Giannis gets my vote. Time now to do a little bit of forward thinking from Forward Financial Partners. Moving forward together on the web at ffpwi.com. Forward thinking up next Friday night. The Bucks back in action, and they'll be taking on the Dallas Mavericks. As Heffelfinger knows, that's my second favorite team in the league right now.
Yeah, Luka Doncic. Yeah. I mean, the new look Mavericks.
Yeah, there's not too many Slovenians out there, and me and Luka Doncic are a couple of them, so I'm a big fan. But the Bucks 40-13, the Mavs 25-28 this season, and as you mentioned, the new look Mavs. Although we're not going to see the new look quite yet. What were your thoughts on that trade?
Gone are DeAndre Jordan, Wes Matthews. In comes Tim Hardaway Jr., Trey Burke, and Courtney Lee. Couple of guys coming in, and you had the
who's the dude from New York that they got? 6'11". Decent.
Can't think of his name. Kristaps Porzingis. Yeah, no, but he's not playing. I mean, he's not playing the rest of the year, and we'll see. That was an interesting one as well. I mean, all around.
What were your thoughts on that trade? I see what they're doing.
Yeah, obviously, I mean, my initial was like, well, the Knicks, LOL Knicks. I mean, you used your best prospect you've had in probably my lifetime to clear cap space. But
best prospect since Patrick Ewing.
You know, again, you sleep on it a couple of times, and you hear this and that, and, you know, both sides, Porzingis' camp and the Knicks organization, are taking shots at each other, whether that's during the game with graphics on TV and, you know, his brother on social media and all that. And
at first
it just wasn't going to happen, and clearly, there's animosity there.
At first, I was just like, this is the typical Knicks. And the Knicks, since they broke up the Patrick Ewing, John Starks team in the 90s that could never give over the Bulls and never get over the Houston Rockets when they had the opportunity. Since then, they've just been giving out bad contracts, just trying to land any superstar. to bring basketball back to New York and fill seats. I mean, you had Stephon Marbury, Steve Francis, Carmelo Anthony. They get like 30-point scores because that's how you fill seats. But the Knicks have been brutal for the better half, I'd say, of what, a decade and a half, two decades pretty much? I mean,
yeah.
And so I at first.
But they have a cool building that they play in.
Oh, Madison Square Garden, yeah.
Yeah, that's so how they get free agents.
At first I was like, typical Knicks, what a dumpster fire. But then I thought about it and I was like, man, they're going to land Kyrie and they're going to get Durant. I just know it. So I don't know if I could fault the decision. But we'll see. I mean, you're throwing all your eggs in one basket. That's the only problem, because what if you don't land Kevin Durant, then you're not getting Kyrie, or vice versa. You're going to need to bring in two max players. You're not just getting one. So imagine setting yourself back 10 years by trading, like you said, your best prospect in over 15, 20 years. Let's go back out to the phone line. Let's go to Jason on the east side. Wants to talk about Middleton. Jason, what's going on, brother?
Hey guys. How's it going?
What's up, man?
Good. I just wanted to just say I understand the concern about Chris Middleton. I mean, I know that he's an all-star, 17.5 points a game. And basically the reason why I think he is an all-star is because he's number one, because we do have the best record in the league right now. But – you know, I'm in my late 40s, and so I remember the 60-win teams. And I also remember that being enough to win a championship of going against Larry Bird and Moses Malone and Dr. J. And I think the thing is, the concern with the Bucks fans is that we have a superstar now, but do we have, is Chris Middleton enough to win a championship? Is he the number two on a championship team? And so you have to look at the guys, the teams that have won championships in the last 10 years. You have the Golden State, you have LeBron with, you know, Kyrie Irving, and you know, does this team compare to that? And I think that's because we want to see a championship once again. The last one was with Kareem and Oscar, you know, and the number two was Oscar. And you know, you're still talking about an MVP, you know, even at his later age. I mean, he was still awesome, you know, and so. And you just don't want to see yourself in a Washington Wizards situation where you have all this money tied up, and what do we do? You know, and so, and I think that's what we've seen many times where the Bucks have had money being tied up in the likes of a Michael Redd, who was not a max player for a championship team. Mm-hmm. And that's what we just want to avoid. So that's all I got. I'll let you guys speak on that, and then great show.
Thanks a lot, Jason. Appreciate the phone call, man. Yeah, and I think that's half of the problem right there, Mitch, is that everybody just brings up, well, they haven't won a playoff series and this and that yet. But once again, man, I don't think that Malcolm Brogdon, I don't think Eric Bledsoe, I don't think those guys are having the type of season that they are this year. They'd be having a good season, I still believe, but if Chris Middleton's not on the floor doing what he does and sacrificing for the better of the team. Time now to go out to the Great Midwest Bank Hotline. We're going to check in now with Matt Velasquez. From the Journal Sentinel, covers the Milwaukee Bucks for us here at The Fan. Matt, long time no talk. It's been about 8 hours since this morning. What's going on, man?
Yeah, I feel like I'm living on your airwaves today.
So let's start off 148-129 tonight over the Wizards and the Bucks. I mean, the sixth most points in team history, third most in a regulation game I saw you had posted on Twitter. What did you see tonight from the team offensively?
You know, I think they were just kind of hitting on all cylinders, like really playing well, moving the ball, making lots of shots. Not a ton of defense, but wasn't too pleased about that after the game. You know, obviously when you put up that many points, it's always, you know, that's a positive, but you also want to see you guys play some defense. And, you know, it seemed like that was his constant refrain throughout the game, like, come on, guys, play some defense. You know, but it seemed that they knew they were the better team than the Wizards, and they played like it. You kind of play with their food a little bit. That was the phrase of the night. And, you know, here we are.
Matt, a lot of people calling in, as you would guess, on Chris Middleton tonight. We've had a couple people saying that he disappears. They want to see him putting up 15 to 20 shots per night. What are you seeing right now from Chris Middleton? I mean, tonight, 6 of 10 from the floor, 3 of 5 from 3, 16 points, 4 assists, and 2 boards. What are you seeing from him right now?
I mean, they didn't need much from him tonight. He wasn't forcing anything. He was kind of playing within himself, didn't play a ton of minutes. You know, everybody was kind of sharing the ball. Getting open shots, and you know, you don't want Middleton to put up 15, 20 shots in a game like this.
Right.
You know, you don't want him to really force it and say, oh, well, we're crushing the team, so it's just me. Like, that's just not how he's doing things, and that's why he's performing as a positive role for this team right now. I think the important thing that they're emphasizing is just efficiency, playing well on both ends. And right now, I think he's doing that. So I think he's been positive, playing well. He's obviously an all-star. And, you know, there'll be a time and a place for him to step up. There have already been games for him to do that. I mean, he had a really strong effort against the Raptors in a really big game last week. Only 9 shots, but 7 of 9. And he was one of the main guys holding Kawhi Leonard to 7 of 20. So if you can get that out of him and get wins in big games, it doesn't matter if he's, you know, putting up numbers like he did last year, if he is playing a major role to get wins against really good teams.
Yeah, and I think that's a great point. I think it kind of speaks to his character and how he's accepted his role, because it's a contract year. How many guys on a contract year, you know, when they're about to make big bucks, they're an all-star for the first time, are only putting up 10 shots in a garbage game like this? I mean, not trying to pad their stats, but playing within the role. So I think that's what I've noticed about him. Do you kind of feel the same?
Oh, yeah, absolutely. I mean, I talked to him in Memphis, and I talked to him exactly about that. And I said, hey, you know, this is a contract year. People, you know, might expect you to do stuff, you know, towards that end. And he's like, hey, if I was playing for a contract, I'd be putting up 15, 20 shots a game. I'd be looking for my shots, hunting for what I can do and trying to make myself stand out, because that's not what I'm doing. It's not what I'm here for. I'm here to win, you know, and that's really all he's about. And he figures that if he plays the right way and fits into the system and does what's asked of him and this team wins, you know, everything else will take care of itself after that. And so, you know, that's the kind of mentality I think most fans would want from a player in that situation. And so, you know, maybe that makes him look like he's not doing as much. Maybe takes a little bit of a shine off of what he's doing for the team this year. But I think it would make that trade when it comes to, you know, having 40 wins before the All-Star break with 4 more games to go.
Talking with Matt Velasquez from the Journal Sentinel here on the Great Midwest Bank Hotline. Matt, what were your thoughts on the Thon Maker Stanley Johnson trade today?
You know, I think that it's, you know, an interesting move. It's still yet to be finalized, so there's always be more wrinkles to it. Mm-hmm. But if it's just a straight-up swap, it's the Bucks saying, hey, you know, we saw Thon Maker. We don't think that he's going to have much of a role with us anymore, and we decided that we're going to go find somebody else who we can kind of take a flyer on. Stanley Johnson hasn't done a whole lot of, you know, hugely positive stuff in the league in his 4 years since being number 8 overall pick. Not a great shooter, hasn't really progressed in many notable ways, but he is a really solid defender, 6'7", versatile, athletic. He's one of those guys who, when you get into the playoffs and you're facing, you know, the Torontos, the Bostons, the Phillies of the world, he's somebody you can throw out there to, you know, go up against the wings that those teams have and, you know, try and help you get a few stops. And you know how much Mike Budenholzer likes defense. And the good thing for the Bucks would be that if they try him out and it works, you know, they could probably still get him at a pretty decent deal. He'd be a restricted free agent next summer. Or if it doesn't work out, they can kind of just renounce his rights and let him go. And instead of paying Thon Maker $3.6 million next year, they can have that money available to kind of spread around to whatever free agents they want, whether they're guys who are in-house or not. So I think that it's just kind of a telling that they've moved on from Thon Maker. They see DJ Wilson and Ersan Ilyasova and, you know, Giannis playing at the 5 as guys they can count on in the front court alongside Brook Lopez. And, you know, they're trying to take a flyer on a guy who was a number 8 overall pick just a few years ago.
You think they're done making moves, or do you think they get a couple more in before tomorrow? Or maybe at least one?
My gut would be that they have another move coming. I'm not sure exactly what it would be or who it would be for. I don't think it would be of the, you know, the blockbuster nature, mm-hmm. Kind of just adding around the fringes, if I had to guess. But you never know.
What throw a name out there, maybe just that we could promote, maybe get some more listeners. What about Mirotić? Let's go with that.
Yeah, I think he'll be hard. I mean, the Bucks. I think the Pelicans have said that they want a first round pick for him, and the Bucks really don't have one to send until like 2024. And I don't think that's the first round pick they're really looking for.
Right.
And he'll only be a rental. That'd be kind of tough. You know, people talked about Dwayne Dedman a bunch in Atlanta. Obviously, Bud likes has an affinity for his former players, and maybe he could fit as a backup big with some size, some 3-point shooting, and some physical bulk. You know, I, you look at if the Clippers are trying to move guys after trading Tobias Harris. You know, maybe Lou Williams would be a really interesting microwave scorer off the bench. He's on a really good contract, but the Clippers too have said that they're interested in getting a first round pick for him, which again makes things difficult for the Bucks. But, you know, just kick a bunch of tires, see what you can find. And, you know, I think there'll be still plenty more trades around the NBA, and we'll see if the Bucks are involved in any of them.
Thanks a lot, Matt. You have a good night, man.
You too.
That was Matt Velasquez joining us on the Great Midwest Bank Hotline.
Looking to buy, build, renovate, or refinance in 2019? Look no further and call Great Midwest Bank today. Great Midwest Bank, providing simply local common sense lending to your community since 1935.
So you heard it here first. Meritage to the Bucks, courtesy of Matt Velasquez. No, I'm just kidding.
No, not quite.
Take a quick break when we come back. Coach Budenholzer said something that I found interesting in his presser. We'll hear that next here on The Fan.
Giannis tracks it down and jams.
There's always something unexpected that changes the game.
It's going to be crazy, man.
Here's tonight's X Factor of the Game.
Brought to you by Bryant Stratton College Athletics, offering athletic scholarships in 15 junior college sports. Learn more at bscbobcats.com.
Bucks winners on a Wednesday tonight, 148-129 over the Washington Wizards. Bucks now 40-13 this season, 23-4 at home. The Wizards 22-32, 6-21 on the road are the Washington Wizards.
Real bad on the road.
They're not a very strong basketball team. Some people put them in their top five heading into the season. I just don't get it. John Wall, Bradley Beal. They don't like each other. They really didn't like each other the first couple years they played together. And then I feel like they had a team meeting. I remember the year that they won like 50 games and they were like the hot thing and they were going to be a threat to LeBron in Miami. I believe he was still in Miami.
They played the Bulls in the first round a couple years ago.
And then, you know,
2013, 14
like
maybe.
Actually working together, things looked pretty good. And then the next year, they were screaming at each other on the sidelines again,
yep,
over on the bench. So I just think it's time for them to blow it up. I don't know how they're going to do that, though, when they gave John Wall all that money. That was just a mistake right away, especially with point guards right now, just because there's so many of them. Russell's is an all-star now, I think I saw it today, due to an injury. D'Angelo Russell, am I
yep,
correct on that?
Yes,
is he on the all-star
team? You are right,
team?
Yep. Yep, he is.
I'm trying to, like, keep up with the All-Star game and, like, the All-Star selections, but also the trade deadline.
Yeah.
Like, I'm kind of, like, caught in between. Like, I want to see
Giannis. A lot of names. You're getting kind of old here.
Well, I want to see Giannis pick his squad, but I also am more curious
to
see where
do that,
Anthony Davis goes.
Is it an in-person live draft? Or what? It can't be.
Evan, you know any information on this? I wanted them to televise it last year when it was LeBron and – who was it last year? LeBron and KD were picking the teams, I believe.
Yeah, and so people were calling for it, and they gave – typical NBA fashion, they give the fans what they want, unlike the NFL. And we have apparently a live draft. Or do you know anything about it, Evan?
As far as I know, because the players are going to be in – like right now the Bucks are heading to Dallas and – I'm not sure where the Lakers are going. I would imagine that they're probably going to be on like a Skype stream.
Yeah, that's what I was thinking, was maybe the internet.
Because I think it's on TNT, so they'll probably do their like inside the NBA lineup, and then they'll have graphics, and they'll go to a different room or whatever, and they'll probably, if I had to imagine, they'll just have like the two players up like split screen, and they'll pick that way.
Yeah. That's what I was wondering. I was thinking it would be kind of like the NCAA tournament, like when they show all the teams just kind of like chilling in their like with their like team meeting and the teams there, and then they find out that they made the NCAA tournament, everybody kind of freaks
yeah,
out. Do you think they're just going to have like individual player cams on everybody around the league?
I don't know.
They
That'd
should
be
just
hilarious.
Get them all in one.
I
room.
Want that now.
Very Wisconsin of me to try to figure out the logistics of this NBA All-Star draft.
Cuz the NBA is all about drama, so I'd love to see them put all these dudes in just like one room and then guys get like bent out of shape, like Chris Middleton get like upset, not just using him as an example, but be like, "Oh, really, Giannis? You're going to go with Kyrie
Chris gets mad
over
when
me?"
When Giannis drafts
you know what I'm
him.
Saying? Like I would love to see that. Or,
yeah, what about like the last person who gets drafted? I want to see the look on his face.
Yeah, which yeah, imagine
What if Kemba like gets Love. Drafted last? Even though he's an All-Star starter, he gets drafted last in his hometown.
Who's Ernest. The weakest link on this All-Star team, would you guys say? I think I just answered
besides
my own
Dirk point. And D-Wade?
Yeah,
they don't really count. Kyle Lowry, in my opinion.
Kyle Lowry. Nobody likes Kyle Lowry.
Kyle Lowry
on,
on the trade block.
Yeah.
Yeah, allegedly.
Looking to trade him for
could you imagine
Mike Conley.
If Toronto, I mean, I hate Toronto.
Right.
But could you imagine if they traded DeRozan and Lowry in the same calendar year? Like, at the right time, don't get me wrong.
And then only to lose Kawhi in the offseason?
Only to lose. I mean, well, that's why they did the trade in the first place, mm-hmm. was if Kawhi leaves, it's rebuild time.
Yeah.
I mean, this is it for Toronto, right? I mean.
But what a tough way to rebuild after you win 55, 60 games this year and you're a championship contender and then guys then decide
LeBron.
To leave and you got to blow it up. Right. Well, then you're looking like Cleveland and then, yeah, oh, God. Cleveland, the Tristan Thompson deal. Yeah, I remember I had somebody, I don't remember who it was, a couple weeks ago trying to tell me that, like, it's not that bad of a deal when you look at it, like, long term. And I'm like, no, it's terrible.
This is what happens when LeBron's on your team. Should we hear from Coach Bud?
Yeah, let's go to Coach Bud.
Let's hear from the head coach. This segment is sponsored by Schneider. For over 80 years, they've been offering great careers with great benefits and more home time. Visit SchneiderJobs.com or call 1-800-44-PRIDE. This is the only station Bucks fans need. 105.7 FM, The Fan.
You know, obviously not the best defense, but we shot it pretty well, so I guess I'll just say good shooting.
Yeah, it's the 50-point first quarter. I mean, what was going so right to start off the game?
Yeah, I mean, I thought offensively there was, you know, obviously we shot the ball really well, but then, you know, mixing in, getting to the basket, just kind of the normal stuff, but, you know, I think, and we were playing pretty fast, a lot of possessions, and they were scoring too. Both teams, it's like a ABA game or something like that. So nothing special, but you know, obviously we shot it well and you know, had a great first quarter.
You know, we've all seen a lot of great things from Giannis, but 17 of 21, making three threes, 31.5 minutes. It just, you know, how impressed were you with what he was able to do tonight?
Yeah, I mean, you know, particularly, you know, making three threes. That's, you know, we feel like the three-point shot is coming, his confidence. You know, he had 17 for 17 at the free throw line the other night. Just feel like he's really getting more and more confident with his shooting. And then, you know, obviously when he gets out and is attacking the basket, whether in transition, he's really, really hard. But half court, thought he got to the rim and finished a lot. So, you know, he sets the table for a big offensive night for us.
I know you mentioned maybe not quite as much defense as you would have liked tonight, but that – fourth quarter from Bledsoe, it felt like he kind of decided we're going to end this right here. Just what does it mean that he can kind of step up in those moments this year?
Yeah, you know, I think it was maybe a 9-point game, maybe 7, 11 or something. And then he just made like three straight defensive plays. And, you know, we've seen him do it, you know, a handful of times or, you know, probably more than that. And, you know, when he forces turnovers in the fourth quarter and sometimes they're leading to easy baskets or it's those are big momentum swings, and you know, he's so capable. It's what he does on that end of the court is really special. And then he got hot. You know, made several threes, had the follow dunk. You know, he had a special 5 or 6 minutes there.
There was that sort of stretch there, but also in the first quarter, you called a timeout, and I think it was 28-27, and then they go on a big run to end the first quarter. I'm sure you don't want to look at it that way, but it appeared like you come into the timeout, you give them a message, and they go up another gear, particularly defensively. What's the message there, and what did you see in those stretches?
You know, I don't feel like they listened very much tonight, but you know, I just could we be better defensively? And I do think, you know, there was that stretch where for that you know, the end of the second quarter, they still ended up with 35 for the quarter, but. And I don't really remember the timeout that well, to be honest with you, but I know that was the message, you know, kind of throughout the night. But it's hard. Both teams are just shooting it well. Both teams are scoring. You know, we'd like to be a team that could, you know, change the tide on that defensive side, but tonight we didn't. But we had enough offense to get us through.
Ersan, 4 for 4 on the night, 12 points. I'm assuming you felt like this was kind of a long time coming for him to have some shots going.
Yeah, for sure. You know, I think it's – you know, he's continued to just kind of stay the course, and the big one, see him, you know, make a transition three and the other three. That's, you know, when he starts making those shots and he's going to finish around the paint. I think he took at least two charges, you know, maybe a third. And so, you know, like we've said, he's been doing this a long time. He's been really good for a long time. So certainly great though to see him have a good game.
How do you try to maintain your sanity during this game? With as much as you like defense, I feel like this has to be, you know, a tough one for you to watch.
Yeah, next question.
Hey, Bucks fans. Let's get tonight's Chili's MVB. Be the first to know this standout player tomorrow morning at 8:35 during Chuck and Winkler to win free food from Chili's. Chili's is back, baby. Back!
Bucks pick up the W tonight, 148-129 on national television. Bucks getting a lot of national love lately. So that narrative is going to have to be thrown out pretty soon because I think everybody's starting to fall in love with this Milwaukee Bucks team. No matter what market you're in, you watch Giannis, you watch the way that they move the basketball. They're the most exciting team to watch in the NBA right now. You could throw them up there, them, the Nuggets, a couple different teams. But 148-129, time now for your Chili's MVB. And I hate to do this because I feel like the NBA, like every single year you could give the MVP to LeBron James, right? But you got to find different guys. You got to find James Harden or, you know, hopefully this year Giannis. But I got to go MVB tonight. Giannis, 31 minutes, 17-21 from the floor, 3-of-3 from downtown, 6-of-11 from the charity stripe, 6 rebounds, 4 assists, 3 steals, 43 points tonight for Giannis. He's your Chili's MVB. Easy decision. A close second, I'd probably go with Eric Bledsoe. In fact, I could have actually went with Bledsoe. 11 assists to just one turnover tonight, plus 10 on the floor, and also scores 22 points on 50% shooting, including 4-of-5 from 3 tonight, is your Eric Bledsoe stat line. That assist-to-turnover ratio is a beautiful thing, 11-to-1. And I don't care who it's against. When Eric Bledsoe's taking care of the basketball and shooting 50% from the floor, you're winning every single night. I don't care who you're playing. So another question that we put up, and you could catch Chuck and Winkler tomorrow morning, 6 a.m. to 10 a.m., but a poll question that we put up today, which we've put up a couple times this season, but today was a little bit different, was which team in the Eastern Conference scares you the most, obviously with Philadelphia making the move and picking up Tobias Harris yesterday, which love that acquisition for him. But so right now, as of today, which team scares you in the Eastern Conference? I'm going to start with you, Mitch. Who scares you the most right now? Is it still Toronto?
I think, yeah, gun to my head, it's still Toronto. Toronto or Boston? I haven't bought into Philly. I don't like them.
Mm-hmm.
I think people have extremely prematurely crowned them. I'm talking to national people going into the season.
Yeah.
You know, I don't think Ben Simmons is that great.
Really? I don't know. Once again, his ceiling is rough.
I think they get overblown because Embiid's a smug punk on Twitter about every opportunity he can, and on the court.
You really hate Philadelphia.
Oh, absolutely. Absolutely. And Jimmy Butler is another candle on the cupcake for me.
Yeah, I'm not the biggest Jimmy Butler guy.
Because he just needs to shut up. I mean, and he has shut up, so I've kind of cooled off a little bit on him.
I'm with you. I'm not buying into Philadelphia. I just...
Oh, there we go. I talked you out of it. I love Tobias Harris, though.
Well,
he's one of my favorite players.
I've been saying the same thing all year.
Bucks legend. It's a travesty he was traded.
I've been saying it all year. I don't think Philadelphia is better than the third or fourth team in the Eastern Conference, even with the moves. I like the move of Tobias Harris.
Philly's bench is awful.
They have no bench whatsoever. They're going to be playing 6 or 7 per night.
Granted, that's Rich coming from a Bucks guy, but... you know,
Bucks bench is deeper than Philadelphia's right now. They just traded the remainder of their bench.
But I just hate that, like, especially, you know, the first 2 months of the year, it's like, well, the buyout season. And it's, who can Philly get? And it's like, why is it Philly?
Yeah. No, I'm with you. Evan, who scares you the most in the Eastern Conference at this point of the season after the, or right before the trade deadline, I should say?
Coming into the season, it was Boston.
Mm-hmm. Same.
I'm most scared of what our first-round matchup's going to be at this point, because if it's someone like the Heat or the Hornets, that's not good. Like,
well,
it sounds absolutely ridiculous, and I admit it sounds ridiculous, but for some reason they match up so well against the Bucks, and my main goal for this season was to win one playoff round.
Okay, I hear you. I'll say this. I don't think the Hornets are that good.
They're not, but for some reason, they go crazy against the Bucks.
They'd probably win one game. Miami, I think, wins two.
I think they win two. I think they take you to six just because Eric Spoelstra.
Miami's selling off right now, though. Who knows what they're going to look like at the end of the season?
The reason Miami has struggled on paper, or excuse me, the Bucks have struggled on paper, how many of those, they lost, what, 5 or 6 in a row against Miami?
Mm-hmm.
How many of those games were noon tip-offs on Sundays?
Yep.
Or,
and how many were in
just
Miami?
Just extraordinary circumstances.
Same with, like, the 2 o'clock games that were in Dallas that it just seemed the Bucks could never win.
And like I told you guys, man, you go to Miami, the last thing you want to do at noon the next day is play basketball. When I go to Miami, I take the next week off. Miami or Vegas, I take the next week off because I'm like Night of the Living Dead walking around like
a
zombie.
I agree with your sentiment. I wouldn't worry about losing the series, but I would just say that, Miami could take them to six.
The coaching staff scares me more than the players on the floor.
Spoelstra is a top three coach in the NBA. I'll say that.
I'll go top five, maybe top three. He knows how to defend Giannis. I mean, he comes up with some pretty good stuff.
Yeah, his name is James Johnson.
Yeah.
The LeBron stopper.
I'm still scared of Boston, I'm not going to lie. And I know they're kind of a mess, and I know...
If they work it out, I mean, watch out.
Come playoff time, I just think that they do. And I think that Kyrie Irving still is one of the top five closers in the NBA, so I think he could get you that 15, 20 points in the fourth quarter in a playoff game where a lot of guys just can't. A lot of guys at the point guard position, especially because you just put a big wing defender on them, like a Stanley Johnson, and shut them down.
There you go.
But I still go Boston and Toronto are still who scares me the most. I like Philly. I mean, I don't like Philly. I like the moves that they made. I like Tobias Harris, but I don't think they all gelled together. Jimmy Butler, still in the fourth quarter, for some reason goes into superstar mode where he has to play with the ball in his hands and starts waving guys off. And B doesn't like that very much. Ben Simmons can't shoot, so Philadelphia doesn't scare me whatsoever because that's how I defend them. I double up on Embiid, and I say, Jimmy Butler and Ben Simmons, you guys could kill me from the perimeter all day because maybe game one and two you show up on fire, but you're not consistently going to shoot 40, 50% from the floor. That'll about do it for us tonight. Ryan Horvath, the Mayor Mitch Ross, Evan Heffelfinger, giving you Heffelbombs on the NBA trade deadline. Thank you tonight, Evan. Thank you, Mitch. 148-129, the Bucks win for the 40th time this season, the 23rd time at home at the Pfizer Forum. 23-4 at home, 40-13 overall. 148-129 over the Washington Wizards. That'll do it for us tonight. Catch us tomorrow morning. Chuck and Winkler, 6 a.m. to 10 a.m. I'll be producing the show. Mitch, I believe we'll be back together next Wednesday. You have yourself a good week. Milwaukee, stay safe.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of four lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.